The Capital Ideas podcast now has a new monthly edition hosted by Capital Group CEO Mike Gitlin. Investment professionals reveal their best mentors, how they find their next great idea, and a few funny stories. Subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. American Funds Distributors, Inc.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage? Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
Good afternoon, my conscious co-creators. Welcome to another edition of the Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity. I am very, very pleased that you are here with me today. Oh, we have a wonderful guest in studio today. I'm so excited. I love when I get my guests in studio. But first, we got, of course, our quotes of the day from Mike Dooley in the Universe and from Abraham. So we'll get to those first. Actually, I'm going to get to them right away because I want to bring them on as soon as I can. So first, from the Universe. It's not that your life totally rocks, except for a few tricky spots, slippery patches, and challenges, but that your life totally rocks in large part because of the tricky spots, slippery patches, and challenges. Stranger than fiction, the Universe. We love Mike Dooley in the Universe, kind of teasing us a little bit, reminding us that those points in our life that we call those little challenges, those little slippery patches, you know, skidding on ice, and those, you know, tricky spots that we're not quite sure how to navigate sometimes, that maybe stretch us a little bit, that cause us to have to show up in maybe a different way than we've shown up in the past. That's what really is the juicy part of life. Like, that's the meat of it that we can really sink our teeth into. And, you know, it's so funny because those are the parts we tend to just want to get past as quickly as possible instead of really reveling in the awkwardness, as a friend of mine used to say. Instead of really, like, you know, being so happy that we have something like that to challenge us, to help us to grow, to help us to expand ourselves and get a little bit outside of our comfort zone. Because you know what they say, everything we want that we don't have lies just outside of our comfort zone. So the Universe is just kind of chiding us on to remind us that it's all good. Not just the stuff that we think feels good, not just the stuff that we say is good, even the stuff we don't like so much, or even the stuff we don't feel is so good, that's actually even better. We just don't have the perspective yet. So I love that. It's a juicy quote from Mike Dooley in the Universe. Thank you. All right, from Abraham, let's see. Make a decision and then make it the right decision. Line up your energy with it. In most cases, it doesn't really matter what you decide. Just decide. There are endless options that would serve you enormously well, and all or any one of them is better than no decision. Abraham. I like this quote. Because it's all about flexing that muscle that we have a tendency not really to flex all that often, which is the muscle of decision making. And one of the things I do when I coach my clients is I like to get them started with like a simple, not very impactful kinds of decisions. Like you go to a restaurant. I give this exercise all the time to people. You pick up and you look at the menu. You've got exactly 2 minutes to decide what you're going to eat. And, you know, you could spend 15 minutes scouring every little option in the menu, and you could get to actually the same choice, the same decision, by just giving yourself 120 seconds to go through the menu, pick something, and don't look back. Now, of course, you know, what your wife or your partner or your friend orders may look better than what you ordered, but I guarantee you whatever you decided was the right decision for you in the moment, as long as you didn't think about it too much. We often get stuck in those places where we think about things too much. It's like, oh, should I have the chicken or should I have the fish or the vegetable dish or the meat? What do I feel like? I'm not sure. No, that sounds good. No, but that sounds good. No, we cut all that out and we just make a decision. And that's what Abraham is saying here, is what's more important is just making the decision and then lining up with that decision and saying, look, it doesn't matter if it's right or wrong, because there is no right and wrong. Just make the decision and then line up our energy and make it just the right decision for us in the moment. And one of the things I find that doing this actually does is it helps us to actually have more self-compassion, because we're actually saying to ourselves, you know what? It's all good. It doesn't matter if you decided to turn right or left, to walk on the east side of the street or the west side of the street, you know, to choose to go to this town instead of that town for a weekend getaway. It's always the right decision. So let's give ourselves a break, stop second guessing ourselves, and stop, you know, this self-criticalness that we're constantly in of like, oh, did I make the right decision? Oh, I don't think it was the right decision. Oh my God, what am I gonna do? No, it's always the right decision. Just practice making the decision and then line up our energy with that particular decision, because it was the right decision in the moment. Does not mean you would make the same decision a year from now, a month from now, even a week or a day from now. Does not matter. But where we are right here, right now, and what we're choosing to decide in this moment is the right decision for us right here and right now. So give it a rest, stop judging ourselves, and let's just own it and say, you know what? I don't care that I need to lose, that I want to lose another 15 pounds. It's so hot outside, I'm going to get some ice cream, okay? It's the right decision for me right here, right now. Tomorrow you'll go to the gym and spend an extra 5 minutes on the treadmill, okay? So I love these. I love these quotes, and they're actually very much in alignment, because they're both about, in a way, sort of removing the judgment about what's going on in our life that's maybe beyond our choice or decision, and removing the judgment around our decisions. Because oftentimes our decisions will impact our life in a way that's way beyond we could ever imagine. And if we look back on that decision at various times, like I can look back at a decision that I know tremendously impacted my life. Very simple decision. Which college did I go to? Because I wanted to go one college, but then I got a scholarship and a student loan and like all the financial taken care of. So I ended up going to a different college. And because I went to a different college, I met people who ended up putting me on a spiritual path at a very young age. It turned into a very difficult time throughout college and after college. And I could have judged it at the time, saying, oh my God, I made such a bad decision. I really should have just gone to that other college. But then over the years, you know, 10 years later, 15 years, 20 years later, I now have a totally different perspective. So if I look back at that one decision at various points in my life, I could easily judge it as a right decision or a wrong decision, a good decision or a bad decision. But it was neither. It was just my decision, and now I line up my energy and I make that decision a right decision, because it was the best decision I could have made at that time with what I knew and what I had experienced in life. Okay? So, for all my loyal listeners out there, your homework this week is to go out and make some decisions. Just practice making those decisions quickly without thinking about it too much, and start with little things like, what are you going to order when you get to the restaurant? Which direction are you going to walk or drive to get somewhere? When you go to a store, maybe you're trying on some clothes, just quickly decide when you're looking through the rack what piece of clothing you want to take off and try. You know, little things that aren't going to have a tremendous impact on your life. Get used to it. Baby steps, baby steps. Be gentle, be easy. Start with that, and then over time, you build up that muscle, and then you can start applying that to even greater decisions, and you become more confident, more in alignment, and really just feel better about your decisions overall. So, two wonderful, amazing quotes from Mike Dooley in the Universe and from Abraham. I hope you enjoyed them. I certainly did. And I think they're actually rather apropos for our guests that we have in studio today. And so it is my pleasure to welcome Jonathan Bender, who has been a transformational workshop leader, coach, and trainer for over 20 years. Woo, that's a long time. He's coached and taught both live and online trainings to thousands, focusing on self-expression, public speaking, personal growth, and the performance of your life. He's the founder of Whole Speak LLC and The Performance of Your Life. He spends his time teaching how to show up in life and on stage with authenticity, power, and dynamic presence. And I've seen this guy coach people. He's amazing. And has a mission to help our world heal the wounds of disconnection, find greater presence on stage and in life. Welcome to The Conscious Consultant Hour, Jonathan.
Thank you, Sam. It's great to be here.
Ah, it's wonderful. I'm so happy we could get you while you're in here from the left coast, as we like to say.
That's right.
So how did you end up like being sort of a transformational coach? Was this always something that was kind of part of your life, or was it really something that developed over time?
Gosh, I probably would say that it began when I was 14, which is when a couple of significant things happened. One was which I joined my high school speech and debate team.
I joined my college speech and debate team.
Uh-huh, I did that one as well. And I was compelled to, and I probably couldn't tell you why at the time I thought I wanted to, but looking back, it was because I felt invisible. I was bullied for many, many years. I had no self-esteem. I was pretty like dissociated out of my body. But there was this calling to want to express myself. And I ended up kind of by happenstance doing these kind of performance acting and speaking events. And then I started doing theater soon after that. And I had success in these competitive speaking events. Then went on and did that in college at Berkeley and majored in theater and also became I was directing, acting, and then I was on the speech team there as well, had a lot of success. And from there, I kept being asked to coach because I had a lot of success. What happened was that I said, well, I don't know. I was kind of making a living as a self-taught web designer.
Oh, really? You did tech stuff?
I started that early on. This was like early dot-com boom days. And then I ended up coaching for these high school teams and immediately had state finalists, state champions, national finalists. And that was kind of the start of my coaching career. But the other thing that happened when I was 14 is I had my first spiritual awakening. So I suddenly started, like one day in English class, started seeing auras and healing and working with energy channeling and doing, and all this stuff started when I was 14 and 15.
So
a lot of stuff woke up at that age. So because of that, it kind of like was this confluence of awakening and self-expression and finding your voice as I did it, and then other people began to as well, and I started to teach that, and I really created my own method, like based on how all of that came together. That came together more after I did my graduate work, and then that's when I formed Whole Speak.
Oh, beautiful, beautiful. See, I joined my college speech and debate team, but for a totally different reason. A friend of mine that I knew from, I don't know, I think the Jewish Club or something, invited me to come to one of the meetings, and I went to one of the meetings. And I remember meeting the coach, this guy, Fran, who had been on the school speech and debate team when he had been there. And he was such a fun guy. And I just enjoyed being around him. So I just joined because I wanted to hang out with him. Hmm. And then, like, I remember doing my first speech at a tournament. And I had, like, everything written out on these index cards. My handwriting was awful, so I could barely read what I wrote. And I, like, stammered my way through the whole thing. And it was the worst speech I ever gave in my life. And the good news was it was the worst speech I ever gave in my life. Mm-hmm. And then I just kept practicing and getting better and better. I actually took a couple of acting classes while I was in college. But I don't know. I really don't know why I didn't pursue it. I guess, you know, the same reason I also took some, like, art classes. It was more like self-exploration. But mm-hmm. I didn't want to be a starving artist when I graduated. So I ended up getting a degree in IT.
Sure.
That's how I started off in technology as well. Okay. So we're going to take our first break. When we come back, let's talk a little bit more about sort of how your work has evolved over the years and what really the message is now behind your work. Okay?
Sure.
Awesome. So everybody, please stay tuned. You're listening to the Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, and we'll be right back after these messages.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network. Are you stuck in a rut? Negative thoughts, feelings, and conversations got you down? Hi, I'm Noreen Sumter, the Potentiator. Tune in every Tuesday at 9 to 10 p.m. Eastern Time and listen for new ideas on my show, Beyond Potential, Live Life Your Way, on talkradio.nyc.
Are you a conscious co-creator? Are you on a quest to raise your vibration and your consciousness? I'm Sam Liebowitz, your Conscious Consultant, and on my show, The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, we will touch upon all these topics and more. Listen live at our new time on Thursdays at 12 noon Eastern Time. That's The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, Thursdays, 12 noon on talkradio.nyc.
Talking Alternative Radio, 24 hours a day.
Welcome back to the Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity. We do this every Thursday, 12 noon to 1 p.m. Eastern, right here on talkradio.nyc. And we have in studio with us today the inimitable Jonathan Bender, all the way out from, where in California are you again?
I'm in the San Francisco Bay Area, about an hour north of San Francisco.
Okay, cool. Okay, so 14, you had an awakening, you joined the speech team, speech and debate team. You graduated and sort of created this whole business around helping other people express themselves.
Mm-hmm.
This is something, and I you know, like when I have friends, kids who are in high school and college, I always recommend, no matter what they're interested in, to try out for the speech and debate team, because it's something that really helps us in all different areas of our life, isn't it?
You know, it's really helpful, and it's also a little strange in that, like, providing this experience within the realm of a competition has benefits and drawbacks. It's great that you get to do it a lot, but depending on your relationship to competition, it may drive some and take others, but often it's like, oh, well, I got second or third, so I didn't win, so I'm not good enough, as opposed to like really recognizing each person's voice as it comes out.
Right,
so,
or recognizing the fact that they just did better than they did before, regardless of what the judge says.
Right. Yeah, so it is kind of an urge to grow, but not always for the right reasons.
Yeah. Awesome. So part of what you teach is about, I just want to touch upon this to start with, is around authenticity, because it's a word that we just hear a lot these days about the importance of authenticity and vulnerability.
Mm-hmm.
if you don't necessarily normally think of like being on stage and being a professional speaker as about something necessarily about authenticity. It's more about like your stage persona is what people tend to think of. Mm-hmm. But that's not necessarily the case, is it?
Authenticity is a really loaded concept, and I have worked with this for many, many, many years with some really unique perspectives on it. I actually, a few years ago, created a video called The Authenticity Trap that talks about both the pros and cons, because I think that for, especially for a lot of us who are on that conscious path, is that we can almost get obsessed with it in a way that holds us back. Now, it's, it is really important, and it's important to start off saying, yes, of course, I want to be authentic. But then you start asking, what am I actually being authentic to? And that something that can happen is that we can be authentic to an old version of ourselves, not to who we can become and our potential and what we want to cultivate and grow. So now that being said, for a lot of people in the business world, just even moving toward being authentic as opposed to doing kind of the practices or what you think you should or the marketing methods is like a lot of that is just feels so fake and contrived that working to let that go is a good thing. But I think it's really asking, well, what is authenticity? And there's a lot of perspectives on this. And and so on one level, it's really being honest. I think just basically, are you simply just like being honest, being out, being forthright, showing your feelings, being okay with that, not being overly contrived, meaning like there's a lot of marketing methods saying, oh, well, you have to follow this webinar format. Or you have to, if you don't do that, it's
follow
just
this blueprint, right?
Exactly, or whatever it is. And that usually when they say you have to do that, it is never true. There are always other ways to do something.
Absolutely.
And finding a way that your calling is. But we have to look at that line where we want to grow into who we can be and not be just faithful to who we perhaps were in the past or idea of who we are.
And we really want to support sort of the direction that we want to go, and by really kind of stepping into and living into that direction that we're going, we're actually giving ourselves more energy, more juice for that direction, aren't we?
Right. And so this goes back to the quote you just read about making choices is that I think of it as choices rather than decisions. For me, now this is just a little thing for me, because I can get stuck in my head like a lot of us, and you can think about what's the thing back and forth, and you can weigh a decision versus like a choice is usually connected with where we want to grow into. And so I think, well, who do you want to become? Like, do you want to be, if you're like, I'll give an example. If you're really angry about what's happening politically in the United States, for example, which is really easy for that to happen, is that you can decide, well, it's more authentic for me to be angry and to show my feelings and to share that. But ultimately, is it a more effective vehicle for change to be angry or to be loving? And you can also take clear action from a place of love. Yes. And you can decide, well, I can create action, but I would like to cultivate and be someone who is clear, who communicates well from that place of love and compassion. Right. So that would be a direction that we can cultivate it.
Right, right. I remember one of the old hosts who used to be on the network, Monty Taylor, who was a Jungian astrologer, and he was very much into mythology, and he was wonderful. He said the word decision comes from, I believe it's a Greek word that means to cut off. Because when you make a decision, it's like you're cutting off certain things and you're only moving ahead in one way, whereas choice, it has a little bit of a different energy around it, I guess.
Right. Yeah. So you know, there's pros and cons of each, and that has me want to look up the etymology of choice as well.
Right. So I want to ask you, you've been doing this now for over 20 years. I mean, I imagine you've seen things change over time. I mean, the way you work with people, do you find like, or maybe not, I'm just assuming, do people have the same challenges around how they present themselves as they did 20
years
ago? Yeah,
I think that the only issue really is that, well, so are you mostly, is your audience more coaches and consultants who are coming here? Or is it
more like entrepreneurs, solopreneurs, people like that.
Right, yeah. So I would say is that especially for entrepreneurs, when you're looking at means of marketing communication, it's gotten a lot more formulaic over the years in a different way, where it used to be that you had to, as you know, that you have to have the money to pay for like certain types of advertisement. And now it's much easier to draw people in, which has benefits, but it gets so formulaic that that can create a certain problem. But generally, honestly, is that people deal with the same issue. Like I was actually just before coming in, I was having lunch with an old friend of mine. We were in the undergrad theater department together at Berkeley, and haven't seen him in 25 years.
Oh,
and
wow.
We were catching up, and he's a director, actor. He's a yoga teacher, and he was saying, you know, I still like get nervous if there's more than five people there.
Oh, interesting.
And this is so common. And so I know what I was like, I hear this all the time. Now, everyone has a threshold, but I hear a lot. Oh, I'm fine with maybe two or three, four people. For some, it's only one. for others, like, oh, it's fine over 100. But the issues that come up about how do we work with the more people in the room and not get intimidated by that. That's a common thing. It's also how do we create more connection? How do we move out of our out of our own like box and to be able to be more animated and expressive while also being authentic?
Right.
So the issues, the core ones have been around and don't tend to change very much.
Right. Has there been any new trends or anything you see popping up, or no? It's really just sort of the same thing.
I see the same problems happening over and over and over again, and so it's not. I can usually predict the reasons why I'm going to get a phone call or email. So it's usually confidence or some sort of nerves and fear of judgment. It's how to craft talks that are effective, that aren't formulaic, but also that you can create a signature talk, that you know how to create a TED talk or keynote that's engaging, they get standing ovations even. It's also how to become more expressive, dynamic, issues with vocal power, body language. Like there are very set things that I tend to see, or like leadership presence is another one. So I would say, if anything, that it's not necessarily a trend, but it's more of a buzzword now of leadership presence, executive presence, that is something of more recent years that people want, which is great, because I think we need more presence in life.
Right.
And it gives me a way to talk about that in a way that applies to both professional and personal situations.
Right. I'm so glad you brought a presence. Now, you're a fellow member of the Evolutionary Business Council, like myself, and I recently spent a weekend up in Vancouver with Satyan Raja. Mm-hmm. And he called it contact, but to me it was all about presence, about how present you could be with that other person in the room with you or group of people in the room with you. What would you like to share around, you know, just that idea of presence? How can we be more present when we are doing a presentation, when we do have a room of people in front of us, or whether it's, you know, 10 or 1,000?
So presence is one of the core things that I teach, and a lot of people think you have it or you don't. The same with charisma, and that's just not true. These are things that can be grown and learned, and for anyone who is on any sort of conscious path, presence is a buzzword. It's like we want to be more present. And the same things that apply for being present in your life, on your spiritual path, also apply for being present and growing your presence as a speaker. So presence is really the art of being present. And there are several different ways to look at that. One is you want to be present physically, like embodied, not too in your head, or you want to be present emotionally and open and connected, which has that vulnerability factor, is actually being open to anything can happen.
Right.
It's being present, like mentally tuned in there and not kind of thinking to something else. And it's being present energetically. You can grow your energetic presence.
Right.
Now, another way I define it is that presence largely comes about if you are both deeply relaxed and comfortable, as well as if you are connected. And a little bit
connected with yourself or connected to others?
Yes. So first, in terms of comfort, is that if you're not relaxed and comfortable, you are probably in some degree in the fight, flight, or freeze response. So if you're in freeze, that's for speakers when your voice gets a little bit higher.
Right.
And it's when your body language gets stiff or you lose facial expressions. Those are all signs of freeze response.
Okay.
And And so when you learn to be really relaxed, and, oh, by the way, other signs of freeze response are like sweating and dry mouth and heart beating fast and a bunch of different fun stuff that come up. And I've experienced all of it over my career. So it's about, but you can learn to work with that in embodied ways to create more relaxation and program that in. And also in terms of the connection, that's, I have a whole body of work around connection, which is really the intersection of connecting with yourself and something greater than yourself, and a little more what I call inner connection and interconnection of how we connect with others. And if you don't maintain your inner connection, then most likely you're going to get nervous or inauthentic. You have to keep that while you are connecting with others. And that's really... There's a lot to say about that, but that's a starter.
Yes, absolutely, absolutely. Okay, it's time for us to take another break. When we come back, now that we've talked about connection, let's talk about disconnection when we come back, because that's also a big part of your work, isn't it?
Well, hopefully changing that.
Changing that, exactly. So everybody, please stay tuned. You're listening to The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity. We do this every Thursday, 12 noon to 1 p.m. Eastern. My guest this hour is Jonathan Bender, and we will be right back after these messages.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network at www.talkingalternative.com. Now, broadcasting 24 hours a day. Talking Alternative.
Do you run or are ready to open your own business? Hi, I'm Jeremiah Fox. I've been operating and opening small business for the last 25 years, and I'm the host of the new show, The Entrepreneurial Web. Tune in every Friday at noon Eastern Time for insights and stories on the nuances of running small business right here on Fridays at noon, talkradio.nyc.
Do you love or are you intrigued about New York City and its neighborhoods? I'm Jeff Goodman, host of Rediscovering New York, a weekly show that showcases New York's history and its extraordinary neighborhoods. Every Tuesday live at 7 p.m., we focus on a particular neighborhood and explore its history, its vibe, its feel, and its energy. Tune in live every Tuesday at 7 p.m. on talkradio.nyc.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network. Are you stuck in a rut? Negative thoughts, feelings, and conversations got you down? Hi, I'm Noreen Sumter, the Potentiator. Tune in every Tuesday at 9 to 10 p.m. Eastern Time and listen for new ideas on my show, Beyond Potential, Live Life Your Way, on talkradio.nyc.
Talking Alternative Radio, 24 hours a day.
Welcome back to the Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity. Awakening Humanity. Just a quick shout out to my loyal fans on Facebook Live, Patty, Anthony, Tony, and who was that? And Vladi. Thank you for tuning in today. So, Jonathan, before the break, we were talking about connection and presence. What about the opposite of that, disconnection? Is that something that's more or less prevalent today than it was 20 years
ago? More.
What a surprise.
And I think there's a confluence of factors. So I'll be speak briefly about the professional side of it, which is less of what I care about in a way. But so I started geeking out around connection because for a couple of reasons. One, I was tired of going to networking events that sucked.
Yeah, there's a lot of those.
That were forced and weird. So I started teaching conscious networking in about 2010 and then developed that more. And then also I was really interested in how do you connect with an audience and how does that really work? Because I saw so many great speakers who like might have been exciting and motivating, even dynamic. And at the end, the audience is exhausted. So that's a sign that there's a disconnection. They're not tuning into the audience. Or what's more common is that someone might be under-impacting them. That they're like, okay, here I am talking this and that, but they're kind of interested, maybe, but not that engaged. Those are signs of not having that connection. And and also what happened with social media then is it got especially formulaic in terms of business approaches. And that's when you start getting constant like messages on LinkedIn and all in these webinars that are formulaic. And it's so formulaic, it takes away the connection. But the other thing that's really happening in society is that people are so much in fight, flight, or freeze response because of what is happening politically in the U.S. Now, it's not that this is
new. And around the globe, too.
Totally.
I mean, you heard just...
definitely, what just happened in England and happened in other countries. But I'll just speak here because I travel a decent amount and about outside the country. But when you just look... not that it's not happening elsewhere, but if we think about the United States and the messaging that happens especially... by the current president, that it's constant fight response. He's insulting people. He's posturing, positioning, putting people down, and a couple of things happen as a result of that. Is that other people who are on his side may go on to fight response with him, and they say, "Yeah, that's right," and they are also attacking, or they may go fight response against him. Mm-hmm. And fight back, and then or they're angry and they post about it on Facebook and links to article analyzing things, or they might just go into kind of freeze or flight where they just like, I'm just going to retreat and not even look at the news and deal, which also, especially if you're not being directly affected by it, that's a really easy thing to do, or just even go into collapse. Like that is also an effect of that. And and it just is, it's really just in the last few years has gotten really bad. So what's happened is the level of disconnection that's happened. And if you look at in Buddhism, like they look at the fundamental cause of any type of suffering is this belief that we are separate. And that you are different than me. And that we're in that fight or flight. And this type of protection and safety mechanism that starts to come in is that we have to protect ourselves. It's not safe. And you are other. And that level of disconnection, I think, has created a huge heightened epidemic that's not new and certainly is often felt, especially by anyone who's from any sort of oppressed population. But as that's been going on a lot longer, but everyone I think is just feeling it even more, that level of lack of safety.
Right. Yeah, one of the things when I hear people talk that I like to say is there is no them, right? There is no they, there is no them, there is only us. Because we're kind of in the boat, we're all in this boat together.
Right. And, you know, there's a line between being able to not be colorblind and to acknowledge difference.
Yes.
And being able to say, oh, well, on one level, you are really different. You've experiences that I can't possibly know or even understand or get.
Sure.
And at another level, we're all human and we all will have that fight, flight, freeze response kick in.
Sure.
And we all want to love. We all want to belong. We all want to feel safe.
Right.
And that what happens, though, is usually we are waiting for someone else to be able to make it safe for us.
Right. We want someone else to initiate, sort of take the action instead of us making it safe for ourselves or for them.
Right. And that's like, how can we initiate that and decide, I'm going to go out now and look at how can I be like a beneficial presence?
Right.
A source of love, of inspiration to other people who might be suffering, who might be struggling. But looking for that opportunity and that, but I think what I have started doing with my work on connection is breaking that down like step by step. How can anyone be able to like make that choice to get those skills so that you can just perhaps like look at the news and not freak out?
Right.
and how can you not lose yourself in that reactivity that happens and be able to inspire others and to create that or recreate the connection that we all really want.
Right. And doing it, I'm assuming, like not just with our words, but with our presence, with our energy, with our I don't know, our vibe.
Yeah. So could I talk through the steps?
Sure. For a second? Yes, please.
Okay. So this is what I call the path to connection. And there are several steps to it. And I'm kind of just like talk through it, and I'm not going to lead through the whole thing, but you can start to play with this on your own. So the first step is connecting with yourself. So this is ironic, especially for people who are doing public speaking, because we're so focused on everyone else.
Right.
And instead is, how do we tune into ourselves? Mm-hmm. And so you can do that in a myriad of ways. So you can you can even just like stretching, getting in your body, holding your hand over your heart, like tuning into your own life, your own preciousness, and taking time for that is something we usually don't do, because we just get sucked into social media, into what's happening around us. And even right now, if you like put your hand on your heart and take some nice deep breaths, and just starting to like calm the nervous system down. So there are lots of practices for this, but I want to name that as the first step. And from there, after we connect with ourselves, is connect with the earth. And one thing you can do is you could send roots or grounding cords deep into the earth. Mm-hmm. You can hug a tree if you're in New York, or get out of nature if you have access to it. And that's also important to know, that we are supported by the earth. Yeah. The third step is connecting with something greater than yourself, whatever is the right framework for you, whether that's the universe or spirit or however you see that.
Or your own higher self.
Your own higher self. So I like to leave this open, because I work with a wide range of audiences. Mm-hmm. And then from there, it's connecting with your intention. And your intention is important, because most people's intention is not to go and hurt others. Yeah. But if we're in like fight or flight, then we may end up doing that without realizing it. And so if we set our intention, that becomes our kind of guiding light that keeps referring us back to, what do I want to do here? What is the impact that I really want to make? So those four things are interconnection. And the trick is how you maintain that as you move into interconnection. Because we know that most of us aren't feeling safe. So we walk out in the world, it's easy on a subconscious level, or conscious at times, is to be like, is this safe? Is this person okay? But if we keep grounding and tuning into ourselves and connecting with something greater, remembering our intention, that guides us. So we don't lose ourselves like a lot of empaths, intuitives, introverts tend to do. And then interconnection is really two steps, which is receiving and giving. And how do we tune into others more deeply than the outer appearances that we have culturally conditioned to be able to look at? So,
And it's tuning into, like you mentioned before, tuning into others, but without losing ourselves.
So I lead connection jams, which are events that I developed, which are have a lot of movement and play and dialogue and ways to kind of work with this. The path to connection I've been talking through is actually a framework that is inclusive of other practices. You can bring in your own stuff there. But when I do this, is that there are prompts I give, like, well, if you look at someone and you really wonder, like, and you can do this the next time you're just walking on the street, you just look at someone and wonder, what is the most amazing thing that's ever happened to them? And what's beautiful? and then what have they been through that's horrific? And like, what have they been dealing with that they're not going to show in their face when they're in the subway or in the restaurant or in the grocery store? So, and then from all of those things, we choose how we want to impact or engage or share. And how do we honor difference? How we appreciate where synergy comes in? So this is kind of some of how I teach the path to connection, so that we can start to heal our society, because it's not going to happen by waiting for someone else to suddenly wake up. We have to be the ones who choose to like wake up.
Yeah, we're the ones we've been waiting for.
Right.
You know, sometimes I like to play that game on the subway, like if I'm taking a long subway ride and it's not too crowded on the train, of just really looking around at people, because it's so funny, because people don't look at each other on the subway.
Right.
And just looking and really kind of studying them, and like looking at, you know, that old woman and sort of the time-worn face and the clothes or the shoes she's wearing, or the little boy, you know, further down. Or I remember one time I was on the subway and there were these four men next to each other One was white, one was black, one was Asian, and one was Hispanic or Indian. Mm-hmm. And it was just, and it was, and they all knew each other and they kind of talked a little bit. And then as the stops went by, one person got off, then another person got off, then another person got off. And I thought to myself, you know, it's so beautiful to me. It's like, that's the epitome of New York City. You have such a mix of cultures here. It was great to like see them together. But like, I wondered, like, they each have their own different story. And even though they all work together, mm-hmm. like, I really wondered, like, how, what was the different perspective that they saw things through, the different lens,
right.
that they may all see the exact same experience through, that could be very different for each of them.
Absolutely. That's a wonderful example of like tuning in more. And when we start to challenge ourselves to tune in more and more, it changes things. And I want to say something too for everyone who benefits from some public speaking tips, especially if you have an issue with confidence and that freeze response that comes up. Mm-hmm. When we're frozen, we're neither giving or receiving. Right. So we're kind of this, and so if you get nervous, if you just start, if you're speaking, if you start to tune in and just look at people as individuals, because no one in an audience identifies as an audience, they all identify as themselves. And if you start to tune in with curiosity and really look at them and with really wondering, like, how can I inspire them, going back to your intention, then that can really make you a better speaker, take you out of the freeze response, get the energy moving and cycling so that you'll be able to, like, one, stop being nervous, but also create a more intentional and positive impact.
Oh, beautiful. Wonderful. Okay, believe it or not, it's time for us to take our last break of the show. Right. Time flies when you're having fun. And oh boy, we got a bunch more people on the Facebook Live that I didn't notice before. So quick shout out to Nicole, Louise, Marcella. Great to see you, Marcella. Rob, Nancy, Keith. Nice to see you, Keith. William, loyal listener. Lisa, thank you for tuning in again. Camille, Eugenia. Ah, thank you guys for tuning in. All right, so when we come back, maybe you can give us some examples of some maybe famous speakers and some certain things that they do that you think are really key to, like, give people an idea of what you're saying and how it gets put into practice, if maybe you can think of those during the break, okay?
All right.
All right, just little things. All right, you're listening to the Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity. My guest this hour has been Jonathan Bender, and we will be right back after these messages.
Talking Alternative Radio, 24 hours a day.
I'm the aptly named host of Tony Martinetti Nonprofit Radio, big nonprofit ideas for the other 95%. Fundraising, board relations, social media. My guests and I cover everything that small and mid-sized shops struggle with. If you have big dreams and a small budget, you have a home at Tony Martinetti Nonprofit Radio. Fridays, 1 to 2 Eastern at talkingalternative.com.
Are you a conscious co-creator? Are you on a quest to raise your vibration and your consciousness? I'm Sam Liebowitz, your conscious consultant, and on my show, The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, we will touch upon all these topics and more. Listen live at our new time on Thursdays at 12 noon Eastern Time. That's The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, Thursdays, 12 noon on talkradio.nyc.
TalkingAlternative.com.
Welcome back to the Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity. So Jonathan, we've been talking about a lot of different things, connection, disconnection, presence. I'm just wondering if maybe you can give some examples, maybe of people you've coached or some famous orators of like something that they did or that they changed that, you know, can show people kind of the impact of what making a little bit of change can really have a big difference.
Yeah, sure. So there's something I work with clients all the time that I want to give a pretty famous example of Not someone I coached, although I'd want to do at one point, which is Barack Obama. Oh, so, yes. And I saw him speak in 2008 in person when he was running, and I was supporting. I was actually coaching one of his major fundraisers. I was like, "Can you get me in to coach him too?" Because I thought he was brilliant and strong in some ways, but a little stiff and intellectual. If you compare speeches that he did in 2008 or 2009 mm-hmm. to late much later in his presidency, mm-hmm. the one core thing that changed over time is he became more relaxed, and just like if you just say like he kind of, which, and then there's several things that happened, is that he kind of went from, you know, brilliant, but a little bit stiff and a little bit monotone. I mean, mm-hmm. he had a good voice, but a little kind of one note to a mm-hmm. degree. Mm-hmm. And when you become more relaxed, which is what we saw with Barack, mm-hmm. is several things happen. So one, relaxing your body and in training that mm-hmm. as part of your everyday response, everyday habit, which is how I teach. It's not mm-hmm. knowing what to do when you speak or say knowing to be loving. It's a matter of like in terms of an everyday application of these skills.
Right.
It's what do you do every single day and how do you entrain that into who you are? So by becoming a lot more relaxed on camera,
right.
or speaking or in life
right.
is that you get out of the freeze response. Now, when you get out of the freeze response, you can start to bring in more presence because we again know that connection and also the being relaxation is a big part of presence.
Right.
And also you can start to bring out your charisma because that's what we saw with Barack is that he has great charisma, but like anyone, if you're in freeze response or trying to be kind of do it right or be strong, is that that's not as authentic. It doesn't have our real charisma.
Right.
And charisma everyone wants, and I'll let you know what charisma actually is, how I define it. Mm-hmm. It's the you when you are totally relaxed, when you feel totally safe in an environment where people you know love you and you may bring out that your kind of little sense of humor or that little weird laugh you don't want anyone to hear normally. Yeah. Like all that's actually your charisma. And if you are in freeze response, it's not going to come out right. And so we want that body language, that voice, your personality to happen. And that's what I saw with him. Right. And what I found is that, so that's like the number one essential tip, and it's what I do even like in my online training, Claim Your Voice. Right. It's one of the very first steps is just learn to relax and breathe. And there is a bit of a method for that. But if you do that, that sets the foundation for being able to enjoy speaking, to be relaxed, to be able to be charismatic, effective, and really tune in with people and be effective.
Wow. Yeah, absolutely. And I guess be more grounded in your body so that you do have that presence just naturally.
Right. Yeah, and that's it. Often the presence is there underneath, but we have to kind of get our normal kind of outer, you know, reactivity and response out of the way for that to be able to surface.
Right. Beautiful. I'm just wondering, like, when you're working with somebody and coaching them about, you know, doing more sort of public presentations, mm-hmm. doesn't have to be with, like, necessarily large groups, but even 20 or 30 people. Is there a difference in sort of how you connect or how you're present to an audience depending on its size, whether it's 5, 10, 20, 30, 50, 100 people?
Well, there's a difference as far as what happens mentally. And energetically. So what I mean by that is with a larger audience, with more people, is that there can be more fear that comes in. And really what's happening is there's just more energy present with all of these people and all of their attention. And a lot of people, especially if you are an introvert or empath, tend to get overwhelmed by that.
Right.
And so learning to stay in that cycle of giving and receiving, of connection with them, which is... Because presence is being present to something.
Right.
And it's also learning to pause and to be able to tune in and see what's needed in that moment. That's also part of presence. Like that, those are part of the art of it. Right. Now, you do have to work a little differently with other ways with a larger audience. There's a slightly different eye contact technique that I teach for a larger audience because you can look at an audience a certain way. You can have an audience of thousands. Mm. And if you do the eye contact technique a little more intentionally that I teach, every single person will feel like you're talking directly to them, mm. and which is really cool, mm. and it makes a dramatic difference.
Yeah.
So, and I get this feedback over and over from my clients. They're like, I did it. I talked in front of that group of 500, and everyone came up to me and said, they're talking to me.
That's wonderful. That's wonderful. I'm wondering if maybe, do you have maybe an example from your coaching practice of working with somebody that maybe a small tip or technique or practice totally shifted how they
showed
up.
Yeah. So the thing with nonverbal communication, our mm-hmm. body language, how we use our voice, is that it affects an audience differently. Mm-hmm. And every single aspect of how you use your body, what you do with your feet, your hands,
right.
your vocal tones, right. each of those has a different way they affect an audience. And
right.
so when you start to change that, then it changes things. So let me give one example of a tip that I do quite often is that it's very common for mm-hmm. someone who's doing a speech to pace.
Ah.
Or they just take a step here and there. Or they kind of bend one knee and they're kind of like shifting their weight. And,
right.
and what happens is that actually ungrounds an audience and it undermines your credibility.
Oh, interesting.
So like instead, for everyone out there who does yoga, uh-huh. is... We know the most essential yoga pose is how do you stand? And some yoga traditions have you have your feet together. I like it when they are hip width apart. So that's generally like 4 to 6 inches, 4 to 8 inches roughly apart.
Okay.
And when you plant those there with your feet parallel, mm-hmm. it'll stop you from swaying.
Right.
And it establishes like much more authority, credibility.
Okay.
And that's something that I hear all the time is it's a weird thing at first. We're like, oh, well, I want to move. Well, actually, your upper body can move and plant your feet and then walk with purpose, walk with intention instead of just kind of shifting back and forth.
So in other words, don't just move for the sake of not staying in a spot. Move when like you want to move to a certain spot intentionally. Maybe because you're shifting the energy in your
exactly,
talk.
Exactly. When you move to a new spot, it shifts the energy, which could have to do with content or moving the emotion or different things. So
gotcha. Okay, I'm going to be a little selfish for a moment.
All right.
I'm wondering, do you ever coach people who are like doing podcasts? So you're on video, so you're not necessarily live in front of people, but you're still connecting to an audience.
Sure.
All right. So lay it on me. And you've been with me for almost an hour. What would be one thing you would tell me to do just slightly differently that would make a difference?
Well, let's see. I haven't been going into my... my assessment.
I know, putting you on the spot here.
No, I'm happy to do that. Normally, like when I work with someone, I'll do like a 35-point assessment of like very, very detailed of everything happening with their speech, the body, the voice. So,
okay.
So one thing I would say is, let's try one thing.
Okay.
So is rotate your shoulders back.
Okay.
And if you rotate them kind of like in a circle going back.
Okay.
Good. And then just shake it out so you're loose.
Okay.
And then if you let your chest kind of slightly be lifted, but then really relaxed.
Okay.
Because you notice that you always have this mic that tends to pull us forward.
Right.
And so if you see what it's like to have the posture, just kind of like be open.
Yeah.
And if you need to reposition the mic slightly.
I see. Yeah. Been going to the gym a lot lately, which it's been new for me. So I'm also a little more stiff because of working
just,
down the gym.
So the question is first, how does that feel of being a little more upright? And just be relaxed. Right. Drop your chin a little.
Right. Yeah, it feels good. It feels different, definitely.
How does it feel different?
Well, I feel more like lifted up in a way, because I'm like a little more focused on my chest area than I usually am.
Mm-hmm.
But it also kind of feels a little more opening, I guess.
Yeah, and what that does is you're actually privileging the heart. And so it brings the heart out more, but your vocal quality just changed as well. Notice if people who are watching or listening notice this, is you just got like a little softer because it's like, you know, it's like it's easy for the New York thing to go on as you're leaning forward a little bit and just like there's kind of an energy moving out.
Yeah.
And so instead, when you move away from the head and you bring out the chest, I am originally New Yorker, is you just start to speak more energetically and intentionally from the heart.
Right, right.
And then notice what that does when you change the body will affect the voice.
Right. Interesting. Interesting. Wow. Well, thank you so much, Jonathan. It's been a pleasure having you on the show. I'm so upset that like we're out of time. I could talk to you for like hours around this stuff.
Likewise.
If people want to get in touch with you, learn more about you, how do they find you?
Yeah. So I have some new stuff coming out. But one easy way that you could do is you could go to yourtruevoice.org.
Okay.
I mentioned before a video called The Authenticity Trap.
Right.
There's also some teachings in there about speaking and presence and confidence as well. So yourtruevoice.org is a short free course that I created they can look at. There's also, in terms of, let's see, you can go to wholespeak.com.
Okay.
It's kind of, the site needs to be redone, so we'll see if it is.
Okay.
Soon. And you can also get in touch with me at info@wholespeak.com. Okay. That's whole as in everything, W-H-O-L-E, speak as in talk.
Wonderful, wonderful. Thank you so much, Jonathan. I really appreciate you taking time out of your schedule, to especially to come in studio while you're here in New York City. It's a pleasure to having you present.
My pleasure.
All right. And thank you, my loyal listeners. Oh, my God. Thank you so much for tuning in today. I really appreciate whether you're tuning in on talkradio.nyc, via podcast. We're all over the place, iTunes, Stitcher, whatever, Spotify, or whether you're listening to the Facebook Live. I really appreciate you all. Thank you all. We will talk to you next week.
Talking Alternative Radio, 24 hours a day.
Do you run or are ready to open your own business? Hi, I'm Jeremiah Fox. I've been operating and opening small business for the last 25 years, and I'm the host of the new show, The Entrepreneurial Web. Tune in every Friday at noon Eastern Time for insights and stories on the nuances of running small business right here on Fridays at noon, talkradio.nyc.
I'm the aptly named host of Tony Martinetti Nonprofit Radio, big nonprofit ideas for the other 95%. Fundraising, board relations, social media. My guests and I cover everything that small and mid-sized shops struggle with. If you have big dreams and a small budget, you have a home at Tony Martinetti Nonprofit Radio. Fridays, 1 to 2 Eastern at talkingalternative.com.
Hey, all you crazy listeners. Looking to boost your business? Why not advertise on Talking Alternative with very reasonable rates? Interested? Simply email at info@talkingalternative.com.
Are you a conscious co-creator? Are you on a quest to raise your vibration and your consciousness? I'm Sam Liebowitz, your conscious consultant, and on my show, The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, we will touch upon all these topics and more. Listen live at our new time on Thursdays at 12 noon Eastern Time. That's The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, Thursdays, 12 noon on talkradio.nyc.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network at www.talkingalternative.com. Now, broadcasting 24 hours a day. Talking Alternative.
Do you love or are you intrigued about New York City and its neighborhoods? I'm Jeff Goodman, host of Rediscovering New York, a weekly show that showcases New York's history and its extraordinary neighborhoods. Every Tuesday live at 7 p.m., we focus on a particular neighborhood and explore its history, its vibe, its feel, and its energy. Tune in live every Tuesday at 7 p.m. on talkradio.nyc.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network.